From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the Book of Acts as he brings the next portion of a message called Paul Sailed to Rome, The Shipwreck. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron. David passed that gloomy brook when flying with his mourning company from his traitor son. The man after God's own heart was not exempt from trouble. Nay, his life was full of it. He was both the Lord's anointed and the Lord's afflicted. Why then should we expect to escape? At sorrow's gates the noblest of our race have waited with ashes on their heads. Wherefore then should we complain as though some strange thing had happened unto us? The King of Kings himself was not favored with a more cheerful or royal road. He passed over the filthy ditch of Kidron, through which the filth of Jerusalem flowed. God had one son without sin, but not a single child without the rod. It is a great joy to believe that Jesus has been tempted in all points like as we are. What is our Kidron this morning? Is it a faithless friend, a sad bereavement, a slanderous reproach, a dark foreboding? The King has passed over all these. Is it bodily pain, poverty, persecution, or contempt? Over each of these Kidrons, the King has gone before us. In all our afflictions, he was afflicted. The idea of strangeness in our trials must be banished at once and forever. For he who is the head of all saints knows by experience the grief which we think so peculiar. All the citizens of Zion must be free of the honorable company of mourners, of which the Prince Emmanuel is head and captain. Notwithstanding the abasement of David, he yet returned in triumph to his city, and David's Lord arose victorious from the grave. Let us then be of courage, for we also shall win the day. We shall yet with joy draw water out of the wells of salvation, though now for a season we have to pass by the noxious streams of sin and sorrow. Courage, soldiers of the cross! The King himself triumphed after going over Kidron, and so shall you.
When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, shout, glory, glory, hallelujah!
Transported with the view, I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise,
shout, glory!
Shout, glory, glory, hallelujah! I will praise God forever. I will shout aloud and sing.
Shout, glory!
Lord, to utter all thy praise, shouts,
glory, glory, hallelujah. I will praise God forever, I will shout aloud and sing, shouts, glory, glory, hallelujah. I will praise God forever, I will shout aloud and sing, shouts, glory, 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 hallelujah.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. In chapter 27 of Acts, we read in great detail of Paul's sea voyage to Rome. Although he was a prisoner, Paul was able to speak freely with the Roman officials, warning them of the danger of continuing to sail as winter approached. The Lord appeared to Paul in a dream and assured him that, in spite of all hazards, he would be brought safely to Rome. No set of circumstances can alter God's purpose to bring His children safely to heaven. Then Dr. Cairns uses the shipwreck as an illustration of the dangers of spiritual shipwreck, both from false doctrine that says man can save himself, or from personal shipwreck that results from abandoning Christ as the only hope of salvation. To avoid spiritual shipwreck, the believer must obey God's word and ignore the opinions of the world. Now to continue this message, Paul sailed to Rome, the shipwreck. Here is Dr. Cairns.
The shipwreck can never lead to anything else. I believe that there are terrible dangers for people who come up in a gospel-preaching church and are reared under the sound of the gospel and live their lives into adulthood with an empty profession of religion only to abandon Christ. There are terrible dangers for such people. For the inevitable result will be shipwreck of life, and shipwreck of soul, and a doom that no human tongue could properly portray. Notice that as the refuge was rejected, there was the deception of the south wind blowing softly. Blew to make them think that all was well. That's just the very thing that we want. The preacher's wrong. Paul's wrong. The Bible's wrong. All this preaching of doom and danger's wrong. And so under the deception of the south wind, man can set out. But he'll make shipwreck nonetheless, for you'll see how suddenly the storm comes. You see the picture then of a shipwrecked soul, adrift amidst the storm and the waves, without the knowledge or the comfort of the Lord and His grace and His presence. You can get into a spiritual shipwreck if you abandon Christ as the hope of your salvation. If you abandon Christ and refuse to receive Him as Savior, then shipwreck will inevitably come. But then the chapter does show us how to avoid a shipwreck. I must just list these things for you. First, you must obey the Word of God. When the Bible, through Paul here, told these people to stay in the fair havens, they ought to have stayed. When the Bible tells you to run to Christ and stay with Christ, you ought to obey the Bible. You ought to disregard the opinion of the world. You know, there were worldly wise men here who told the centurion what he ought to do. The master of the ship, he said, let's go on. The master's probably the pilot. He's an experienced seaman. He's worldly wise. He ought to know his way about. He says, let's go on. The owner of the ship, he says, let's go on. So we have the master and the owner, and they're both saying, let's go on, worldly wise men. But they were wrong. You remember when John Bunyan penned his immortal dream, Pilgrim's Progress? That he told how when Christians set out from the city of destruction, he met Mr. Worldly Wise Man. Oh, he had all the answers. And his worldly wisdom was all geared to turn the pilgrim back, to turn him back so that he would go back into destruction and never reach salvation. Why, if you listen to the opinions of the world, you'll perish eternally. And so if you would avoid spiritual shipwreck, listen to God's word and disregard the opinion of the world. Do not be swayed furthermore by what appears to be commodious or expedient to the flesh. Do not say, well, and this is of course what the devil would have you think, well, if I'm a Christian, it's going to be hard on me. I have to give up this and I have to give up that. It's like the fair havens. It's not commodious to the flesh. But if I get to Phoenicia, if I can fulfill my own lusts and my own desires, oh, how happy I'll be. Why, the devil's a liar. Let me tell you, don't be swayed by what appears to be commodious. Because you'll find that Christ appears to be straitened and restricted to the carnal gaze of a worldly man. But the trouble is not in Christ, the trouble is in the gaze of the worldly man. You need your eyes straightened. In fact, you need sight to see Christ as He really is. You'll find once you get into the fair haven of rest in Christ, it is more than commodious, it is perfect. So don't be swayed by what appears expedient to the flesh, and do not be deceived by the south wind blowing softly. Do not be deceived by the seeming prosperity of disobedience to God. When you go to do something wrong, when you set out on a wrong course, when you go to disobey God, when you go to cut loose from the influence of the gospel, my, the south wind will blow softly, and the devil will encourage you in your way, and things will seem to be just right for you. But remember, the soft blowing south wind very quickly gives way to Euroclidon, and you end up in disaster. There's one final thing if you would avoid spiritual shipwreck, and it's found in verse 31 and 32. When they were coming near to the land, we find that some of the shipmen tried to flee the ship, take the boat for themselves. And Paul, verse 31, said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. In other words, you must abandon all hope that is not in Christ. You must abandon hope in everything else. You must turn in true repentance and total surrender and complete trust in Jesus Christ. It's God's way of salvation or no way of salvation. If you try your way of salvation, you can't be saved, you'll perish. How to avoid a spiritual shipwreck. Then finally, and very briefly, I thought we should end this chapter by looking at the influence of Paul. You know, it's easy to read this, and yet, if we only had one fraction of this man's spiritual stature, America would be a different country today than what it is. This man's a prisoner. He's in chains. This man's thrown onto a ship to be taken, to be tried for his life. He belongs to the most hated sect or religion in the then known world. Even more hated among the Romans than the Jews were. And yet here we find, even in the awful circumstances of Acts 27, that Paul stands out as a spiritual and moral giant. And he stands as a man who radiates an influence for God. Notice very carefully the testimony that he established. It's evident that he greatly impressed everybody with whom he came in contact. I think that's the mark of a man that's living close to the Lord. When you impress people with whom you come in contact. Notice verse 3. That Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Julius singled him out from the prisoners and treated him well. Why did he do that? Obviously, Paul had made a mighty impression, even on a proud centurion of Augustus' band. Then in verse 10, we find that the centurion and the master and the owner of the ship are deciding what to do, whether to leave the fair havens or whether to stay. And Paul gives them his advice. Now, of course, they didn't take his advice. They disregarded the warning. But the wonder is that a prisoner would be listened to at all. That the prisoner can talk on equal terms with the centurion and the master and the owner. Obviously, then, he established a testimony. Let me tell you, that's the first thing that a Christian ought to be about. Wherever you go, whatever your company, in your home, in your business, wherever you are, your first task is to establish a testimony for Jesus Christ. And I would say this to you today if you're saved. Suffer the loss of anything to maintain your testimony. Do nothing that's going to mean that your testimony is soiled or weakened. Because you can get through this life without a lot of things. And you can suffer the loss of many things. My friend, the last thing that you can suffer the loss of in this life is the testimony that you ought to have for Christ. And yet it's a sad thing that professing Christians so often have no testimony with the people with whom they come in contact. I think I told you of a young man. I hope he has never forgotten the lesson that he learned. A young man that I came across in a business connection. He worked partly with a company that were partly Christians and partly unsaved. And I must say that the Christians were not bearing a very high quality testimony. And some of their goings on in business were not really to be commended. Most of all, their honesty and their integrity were certainly to be questioned. To cut a long story short, and one day he came on the telephone to me and told me that a certain job that he was doing for me was there, but it had just one stage to go to completion, and I would have it in such and such a time. And I arrived on his doorstep, but I didn't realize I was going to be in that part of the world. But circumstances happened that I had to travel there, and so I arrived on his doorstep just to have a look at the job. And I found that it hadn't even commenced. Now, the job itself didn't count for much. But the honesty of a Christian ought always to be beyond question. And the awful thing was that in full belief of this man's integrity and honesty, I walked into the firm and the first person I came in touch with was an unsaved man. And I said, "George, can I see the job? It's almost complete." And he looked at me as if I were a lunatic. He mentioned the boy's name. He said, "Did he tell you that?" "Yeah." "Told you a lie. Hasn't even started. Can you see the job that I had when I tried to witness to that unsaved fellow? As I did many a time. Can you see the job that any Christian had when he went to that ungodly man, and he was ungodly, and tried to win him for Christ? He just pointed to the Christian right by his side. He said, 'I want nothing to do with that.' My friend," I told that young man, I went and got him on his own. And when he tried to wriggle out of telling lies, I said, "Look, let's put an end to this and stop making the situation worse with more lies. Never you forget this. You lose your testimony. It's probably you'll never regain it, certainly with that man. You lost it. Lose anything but that." Paul had a testimony. I would to God that every Christian in this church was known as a man with a testimony, that the ungodly could point to them and say, "Whether you like them or whether you hate them, those people are upright and honest and true, and they believe certain things and they act according to their beliefs." The kind of Christians I believe in. Back home in Northern Ireland, I had a friend who drove one of these huge 20 or 30 ton oil tankers, not the ships, you know, the ones that go along the roads and deliver gas to service stations and crude oil to various other installations. When he went into Shell, the firm that he worked for in Belfast, he was the first Christian in. And when he started establishing a testimony, some of the ungodly cursed him because he started wrecking some of the neat little plans and goings-on that they had for wasting time and getting more money. And he said, "I'm not going to be a liar for any man." And soon that testimony began to permeate that entire firm. He got a couple of other Free Presbyterians started. They were driving these tankers around Northern Ireland. Their manager was one of the most ungodly men you would ever meet. Let me tell you what he said. When the Esso Corporation, another big oil firm there, was in need of drivers and workers. This ungodly man, who hated religion and lived just for booze and wickedness, went to the manager of the other installation. And he said, look, these were days when the Free Church was cursed up and down the country, and to be a Free Presbyterian in many places meant that you lost your job. He went to this boy and he said, look, whatever people tell you about those Free Presbyterians, you hire as many of them as you can get, because they are the best workers I have ever had. I believe in that kind of Christianity. Christians who establish a testimony.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening, and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.